94 GTO with fins and gills like some giant piranha fish, some obscene phallic symbol on wheels. Little rivers of anticipation ran down my inseam as I kicked those 500 Italian horses into life and then left reality behind me. 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. Oh! My hands slipped inside the belt of my trousers as we passed 80, 90 miles an hour. And as we hit the magic punching line, yes, my love exploded all over her bright pink leather interior. And at that moment, I thought of my mother. I don't need no drugs. I don't need no liquor. Said all I want is the KDO Ferrari. Your ruby lips, your perfect figure. Just want the key to your Ferrari. Gotta rev it, jam it, scram it, rim it, tear it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually Death Cab for Cutie. Death Cab for Cutie doing CCR's Fortunate Son here on the Viva La Mock radio program. That version actually featured Sean Nelson of Harvey Danger on vocals. Before the Death Cab, how about some Franz Ferdinand and Take Me Out? Went back to Thomas Dolby's, I'm going to say 1988 album, Aliens Ate My Buick, for the keys to her Ferrari. I actually saw Thomas Dolby on that tour, a little place called The Ritz on Gratiot up in Roseville outside of Detroit. It was a good show. Lou Reed started off the entire set from the rock and roll soundtrack with My Name is Mock, because my name is indeed Paul, but it's a show called Viva La Mock. So people call me Mock. They call me the Mockster. They call me lots of things, actually. And I'm okay with all of them. Even the naughty ones. I'm okay. Welcome to my little radio show. My little program comes to each and every week at this time. Hour by hour, minute by minute. Never knowing what's going to happen. 1 second to the next. But I do want to remind you, as I'm going to get into some pop goodness here shortly, that you should actually pull up a chair for breakfast for dinner with DJ Chris Wired, because he serves up an audio feast of melodious harmonies and harmonic melodies. Includes power pop, punk, jangle pop, psychedelic, and anything that feeds the mind. And it's Sunday nights here on WRCT from 10 to 11. And he's got a rebroadcast at 5 o'clock on Wednesdays. So if you miss that hour Sunday night because you're like, I go to bed Sunday night because I got to get up and work in the morning, well, then on Wednesday, on your way home from work, you can listen again. So always, always excited to promote the good shows here on WRCT. Hey, speaking of that Sean Nelson, Harvey Danger guy, got a chance to meet him a few years back. He was in town performing as a band member of these guys out of Seattle, some old friends of the Viva La Mock radio program. It's John Roderick and his project, The Long Winters.
Rice won't grow at home, and the moon doesn't favor girls.
chance, raised his hand, sang a song, now he's back in the game.
I said, hey, 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 St. Peter, I got a tale to tell. Just been down in New York town, it really feels like hell. It really feels like hell. I said, hey, 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 St. Peter. Hey, 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 St. Peter. Hey, 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 St. Peter. It really feels like hell. It really feels like
have to fall, hands and have nuts, hold around. home and feel so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go. Thursday goes too slow.
Easy Beats wrapping up that set of music because, you know, I think every day I've got Friday on my mind. Before the Easy Beats from the Lolita Nation album, some Game Theory in there with Chardonnay. Also, Flash in the Pan gave us Hey, St. Peter. Always like to just remind you, because I know you'll know this by now because I've told you a bazillion times, but Flash in the Pan was actually a project by Harry Vanda and George Young. Harry Vanda and George Young were in the Easy Beats together in the 1960s. Flash in the Pan was from the 1970s. And George Young is the elder brother of those dudes in AC/DC. It's all true. Start off the entire set with The Long Winters from Seattle, Washington, in Shapes. That gets us to where we are now. We're just past half the hour. First half of the hour, which means we still got the second half of this hour to complete with more music. My name is Paul. It's a show called Viva La Mock. Thank you so much for tuning in. Got to remind you that your eyes are the windows to your health. You should actually schedule an eye exam to see if you're one of the 11 million Americans who has a common vision problem that can easily be corrected. Now remember, healthy eyes make for a healthier you. For more information, you can visit nei.nih.gov/healthy eyes. This message brought to you by the National Institutes of Health, the National Eye Institute, and of course your good friends here at 88.3 FM WRCT. So I was talking to someone just the other day about Echo and the Bunnymen. And one thing that I've always been told about Echo and the Bunnymen is Ian McCullough was not Echo. He was part of the Bunnymen. Echo was the drum machine.
Here you come again, acting like a savior. There you go again, talking like a stranger. You're setting all the swirls of face, what we're becoming. And I saw you in the distance, off and running.
never change.
Red light shows and we all go, cause everyone's there.
I really like the way she looks in that halter top and elephant flares. Driving down the highway in my Trans Am custom T-top car. Here's some Tracy Lee playing on the radio.
Incantation.
Some say she is a high priest of perfection generation. I am free.
It's the way she,
and you are me,
and we are all together, all together. People say.
Driving down the highway in my Trans Am custom T-top car. Here's some BTO.
From the Third Eye album, that's some Red Cross here on the Viva La Mock radio program with Elephant Flares wrapping up that set of music. Before the Red Cross, brand new music from the Brothers Steve. New album's called Dose, and I played Wizard of Love. Before that, some Smithereens from their 1986 album, Especially for You, with Strangers When We Meet. Speaking of Strangers When We Meet, that happened to me the other night. I was out and about. Just hitting the town solo, just meeting people, just randomly talking to people, and that's where that conversation about Echo and the Bunnymen came up. So before the Smithereens, I played Ian McCullough. I went back to his debut solo album from 1989, Candleland, for Proud to Fall, but he was one of the Bunnymen. Will Sargent, Ian, the other guys, all part of Echo and the Bunnymen. So I start off that set with some Ian. We got about 10 more minutes, a little over 10 minutes, let's say 12 minutes, somewhere between 12 and 10 minutes, between 12 and 0 minutes probably, before we get to the top of the hour and wrap up at least an hour of what we call the Viva La Mock radio program. My name is Paul. If you ever have a suggestion for a song, you can reach out to me via the emails, and you can send me a request at wrctrequest@gmail.com. Part of that Echo and the Bunnymen conversation I had, and I said we're talking all things pop music, it was brought up about Wire's third album. Like, there's Pink Flag, which is a must-have in collections. There's Chairs Missing, which is yet another phenomenal album. And then there's the underrated third album in the trilogy called 154, which actually stands for, get this, 154. They named it after the number of live shows they had done up into that time. So why not go back to that album? Just revisit it. It's Map Reference, 41 degrees north, 90 degrees west, here on Viva La Mac. It's Wire.
Defines with geometry. An unruly bar expands our geography. An aerial photographer overexposed
to the cartologist to me.
Images known.
Yeah.
A fear of failure won't hold me back from hoping someday you'll be mine. A fear of failure won't hold me back from hoping someday I'll be right. And I will write my name upon you, take you home to bed and keep you warm through the darkest night. I wonder if you're drunk enough. I wonder if you're drunk enough. I wonder if you're drunk enough to sleep with me tonight. We grew up fast, couldn't wait till morning. We stayed awake till dawn and spent the whole day falling asleep. We grew up fast, couldn't wait till morning. We stayed awake till dawn and spent the whole day falling apart. And I wonder if you're drunk enough. I wonder if you're drunk enough. I wonder if you're drunk enough to sleep with me tonight. A fear of failure won't hold me back from hoping someday I'll be right. A fear of
that is the band Ball Boy asking you the perennial question, are you drunk enough to sleep with me tonight here on the Viva La Mock radio program? I pulled that one off of their debut album, A Guide for the Daylight Hours. Ball Boy, a Scottish band. Well, I think they're still out there doing it today. That actually was released back in 2002. Before the Ball Boy, some Smiths from Manchester, England with Panic. Because you know what? I think everybody wants at some point to hang the DJ. Sadly, I'm the DJ that at some point everybody wants to hang. But I am Paul. I am the Mockster. It is a show called Viva La Mock. Before the Smiths, I should just wrap up what was in that set of music. Wire went to their third album, 154, for the coordinates of map reference, 41 degrees north, 90 degrees west, which I believe is somewhere in the middle of Iowa. I believe. And that gets us here. We are wrapping up the hour. Or I should say, we're wrapping up an hour of this radio program. I do want to remind you that Spack Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza. It's in their name, but they also have hoagies and wings. And they specialize in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. They don't use any refined sugar in their sauce, any unbleached flour in their dough. And they are committed to safety during the ongoing pandemic because the only way to order their pizza is online at this point. And it's safe way to order and pay for your pizza, and you get a contact-free pickup. You can learn more about online ordering at SpackBrothers.com. More information about Spack Brothers, you can try calling them, 412-362-SPAK. Or again, their website, SpackBrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or SPAKBrothers.com. We'll be right back.
From the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
One of the things I try to avoid on this show is to be hyperbolic. And when people are going crazy about something and it's really no big deal, I try to just say, this is really not that big of a deal. Let's talk about it, but let's talk about it in sort of sober and reasonable terms. But that is very much not the case when it comes to the peril that is on the horizon. If Republicans were to win the 2022 midterm elections in what are just a few months now, quite frankly. And when I say democracy is in jeopardy if Republicans take the House in 2022, I say it with the caveat that this is not a hyperbolic claim. And increasingly, I mean, the bad thing is that democracy is in peril if Republicans win. The good thing is increasingly people are understanding this peril and this risk. Republicans and Democrats, who are so similar on so many issues, we've talked about it before. Here's a whole bunch of issues on which there's really no significant difference between Republicans and Democrats. How could it be that if Republicans take one chamber of Congress, it would have such a major impact? And the answer is that it is because of the destructive potential that the series of events that could be unleashed by Republicans taking control of the House is so significant that it could be the catalyst for a disaster for democracy. And let's just think it through. First, we know that Republicans see their 2020 failure as a failure to steal the election. What I mean by that is when you hear Republicans talk about 2020, most of them, I mean, okay, Mitt Romney's the exception. Liz Cheney's the exception. But for the most part, when you hear Trump, people associated with the Trump White House, the more weaponized Republicans in the House and Senate, when they talk about what happened in 2020, their view is we just didn't do enough to take the election from the guy who won it. They don't think, you know, next time we should really win by appealing to more voters and getting more people to vote for us. That would be the normal reaction. That would be the pro-democracy reaction. Not enough. We didn't convince enough people. Let's be better at convincing people to vote for us. No, they think we can win next time by better working to take the election, even when we don't win it, using different techniques or being better with the techniques that we used in 2022, but we just didn't do enough of. So with a midterm 2022 win, they would be far better to carry out that upending of democracy in 2024. That's a very dangerous thing. Secondly, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and others in that cohort have said, if we win in 2022, we're going to investigate Joe Biden. We're going to investigate Hunter Biden, who has nothing to do with the administration. We will end the January 6th committee if it's still going on. We will impeach Joe Biden and on and on and on. They've said that that's what they're going to do. Disaster. And thirdly, they've said if they win, they will quickly work to help the Trump rioters avoid consequences to any extent that they can, effectively rewarding the rioters for what they did on January 6th of 2021. Now, in response to this, Nancy Pelosi, who I am not a fan of, Nancy Pelosi recently said, quote, "It is absolutely essential for our democracy that we win. I fear for our democracy if the Republicans were ever to get the gavel. We can't let that happen." And some people are like, oh, she's being hyperbolic. But remember that Canadian political scientist Thomas Homer Dixon, who we interviewed recently, he also wrote and explained to us during the interview that the United States could be under a right-wing dictatorship by 2030.